I don't often talk about a world that is invisible, but it is significant in the Bible. It is the world of the created spirit beings that we cannot see and often really don't think much about, which is the reason we don't see them. God doesn't want us to always think about them. I don't want to become overly concerned about them, but we should know what the Bible says about them. What I'm talking about is what most people talk about as angels or spirit beings. What are they? They are created spirit beings, we could say, of rather high intelligence and who have moral judgment and can make moral choices. They actually know right from wrong. They know good from bad. In the book of Nehemiah, for instance, in Nehemiah chapter 9, I'm reading this from the Complete Jewish Bible, he says, "You are the eternal," they substitute Adonai, "you are Adonai alone, you alone. You made heavens, the heaven of heavens, with all their array, the earth and all the things that are in it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The army of heaven worships you," because God made he made the army of heaven. He made all things. And in the book of Psalms, Psalm 148, here's what it says. Praise the Eternal from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Hosts are the armies of the heavens. You know, there's the various hosts, and God is the Lord of what? Lord of hosts. He's the Eternal of hosts. Psalm 148 and verse 5. "Let them praise the name of the Eternal, for he commanded, and they were created." Verse 5. So these are created beings. God made them. Okay? They're made. Here's what Colossians 1 says in verse 16. "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether they're thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him." That's speaking of Jesus Christ. "By him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." They exist, they hold together. Now, we know angels can sin. You know, we know that they can make the wrong choice. They can do a very wrong deed and rebel against God. So we have this statement from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. "For if God," listen, "if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell," that's a Greek word, "and called Tartaru, "and committed them to the pits of darkness reserved for judgment." They went into pits of darkness. We'll talk more about that. In Jude 1 and verse 6, he says, in the only chapter of Jude, in verse 6, "The angels who did not keep their own domain," their own estate, their own, "but abandoned their proper abode." In other words, God gave them rules. He gave them limits. He set them in a certain place, and he said, "You got to stay there." They didn't do it. So here he says, "They did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode. He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day." For what can we see then? From what we see of scriptures, angels have high intelligence. Look at this statement in the book of Matthew. And the angel answered and said to the women. You remember when the women went to the place of the burial? They were coming up there on that morning, and they come up and they're looking for him. The angel then, who was there, said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who has been crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying." So the angel takes her over. "Come see the place where he was lying. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. And behold, I have told you." So the angel says, "I told you this." Okay. So the angels have quite a bit of intelligence. They know what, you know, "I know why you came here. I know what you're after. And I want to tell you." Now, angels seem to be able, when God allows them, to appear in human, looking like human form. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 6, here was Herod. It says, "On that very night, when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping." Now, we have to, you see here, Peter was sleeping between the soldiers, and he was bound with two chains and guards in front of the door. This is Acts chapter 12, verse 6. And the door, they were watching over the prison. "And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter's side and aroused him and saying, 'Get up quickly.' And when he got up, his chains fell off," fell from his hands. "And the angel said to him, 'Gird yourself, put on your sandals.' And he did so. And he said to him, 'Wrap your coat around you and follow me.'" Get your coat on. "Follow me." "And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real." You ever wake up in a kind of a stupor? You know, you don't know, is this happening, or am I still dreaming? Have I got it? And now all of a sudden the angel says, the light shines, and you get your coat on, get up, follow me. Okay, where are we going? You know, you're walking out of the jail. Am I out of jail? I thought I was in jail. I don't know how I got out of here. I'm walking through the streets. What's going on with me? And he didn't know what was happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. He was like in a stupor. "And when they had passed the first," this is verse 10, "when they passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate which leads to the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along the street, and immediately the angel then departed." Now, he's going along the street. Now, Peter says, "I think I know my way from here. I think I know where I am now. I know where I am. I know how to get there." And the angel left. "And when Peter came to himself, he said, 'Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth an angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting, what they were going to do to me. I know that God rescued me.'" Now, angels then can appear in a human form, but mostly they're invisible. Angels also sing praises. One of the things they do, God created them, and when they keep their abode, one of the things they do is sing praises to God. You see it in Revelation chapter 5, dropping down to verse 11. "And I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands." Myriad is a 10,000. That's a Greek form of word for 10,000. 10,000s of 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice. And this is what the angels say before God, saying with a loud voice. You talk about a choir. You talk about a chorus. You talk about singers. Here it is. They say, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven And on earth, and under the earth, and on the sea, and all things in them, I heard saying to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor, glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. So we have this gigantic spiritual creation in heaven. Now, the job of angels, besides praising God, they are messengers. And they are, one of the jobs is to protect God's people, to protect you. That's one of their jobs. You see this in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 7. It says here, the angel of the eternal encamps around those who fear him, who fear, not fear the angel, but who fear the eternal. The angel of the Lord camps around those who fear the eternal, and he rescues them. Rescues them. Psalm 91, verse 11. He will give, this was a charge that Satan quoted to the Messiah, quoted to Jesus. He will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands lest you strike your foot against a stone. So you can see the angels, they were hovering around Jesus. And they hover around us. And what does the book of Hebrews say? Chapter 1, verse 13. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? No, he didn't say that. Verse 14, Hebrews verse 14, 1 verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? So the angels are sent out as serving spirits. Ministering me, I'm helping you, I'm serving you. I'm ministering spirits, serving those who are going to inherit salvation. Now this brings up a question that people often ask, and you've probably heard this said. It says we have guardian angels. Oh, his guardian angel took place of him. I don't know. Do you have a guardian angel? Do you have an angel that has been just assigned to you specifically? Does the Bible teach that? Does the Bible say that? Well, here's what we can find, and I think people get that concept from a couple of statements. First, here's the first one. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, Jesus was talking about little children. You remember the little children came, don't despise them, let the children come to me. And in verse 10, he said, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven continually behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. So the little ones, these children, are an analogy, really, of new brethren. If you have a church member who comes in, the new brethren. The little children are powerless. They're not what we call pillars of the church. They're little, they're small, they're powerless. Now, Jesus may be saying that the angels who have the job of watching over them are looking at the face of the Father in heaven. In other words, just all the angels, angels that have a job. Angels have their ministering spirits to us, to rescue us, to help us, right? Now, he didn't talk about just one angel. One angel for each kid. It doesn't say that. But people have gone on to this, that everybody has a guardian, a special guardian angel. And in Acts chapter 12, which we just read, in Acts chapter 12, as Peter continued, he comes all the way now to the house where these people were praying for him. And he knocks on the door, and people don't know, and so on. And when this woman, the maid that was going to open the door for him, Acts 12 and verse 14. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she did not open the gate. Hey, it's Peter. She runs back in. Hey, still, you got to let me in or not? And they're all celebrating. So she ran in to announce that Peter was standing in the front of the gate. And they said to her, are you out of your mind? You're crazy. But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, it is his angel. What you saw is his angel. You didn't see him. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him and they were amazed. They were, just shocked that he was there. Now, again, it is his angel. So people might say, okay, well, see, he has an angel assigned to him. Now, it could be that that's the case, but it doesn't necessarily say that. In fact, as I looked up the phrase in the, through concordances and all that, the phrase guardian angel, there is no such phrase in the Bible. There is no such phrase. And nowhere can I find that God has assigned each one of us an angel. We do know that angels, however, are ministering spirits. They do help you. Some angel is probably going to help you. I don't know that he's assigned, an angel is specifically assigned to you or has a name assigned to you or anything like that. And I certainly don't think that any of us should seek to talk to, hey, do I have an angel here that can I talk to you? You're my guardian. I don't think that's appropriate. Now, there are various names for angels. You know that. Here are a few names. In Job, we have chapter 1, verse 6, and chapter 2, verse 1. They're called the sons of God. In the book of Psalms 89, they're called holy ones. Holy ones. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, which we just read in verse 14, they're called spirits. They're ministering spirits. In the book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse 13 and 17, they're called watchers. And I knew the watchers. In the book of Colossians and in the book of Ephesians, both chapter 1, they are referred to as various names: thrones, dominions, principalities, authorities, and powers. They are very, very powerful. They have authorities and powers. They're referred to as, in case, principalities. You remember what he said? I saw the prince of Persia and the prince of Grecia and all these in the book of Daniel. They referred to. They are spirits. They do not ordinarily appear to the human eye unless God gives them a special reason and permission to do so. Just like you saw when Jesus Christ was born, you remember at the time of his birth? Here it is in Luke chapter 2, dropping down to verse 9. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find him, a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased. That's Luke. So you see an angel here, not only one angel, but then when he speaks, he finishes, a host of angels are now singing and praising God. The host of them start. And you remember the time when the angel, here was Balaam. Remember, you know who Balaam was, right? The prophet. And he was supposed to be a true prophet. He's supposed to be a prophet of God to carry out God's word. And he says, I can only say what God can say. But he had a clever way to curse Israel. Remember, Balak, the king of Moab, says, I'll pay you. Let me pay you if you'll curse them. And he said, I can't curse them. I mean, I'd love to take your money, but I'm not allowed. God won't let me curse them. Well, what can we do? So he was headed up. You remember when he first called, I'm going to go up to see old Balak. I'm going to go see him. I'm going to go. And so he's on this donkey, and he's going, and he gets to a certain spot, and the donkey won't go. And he whips the donkey, and the donkey won't go. And he whips the donkey, and the donkey won't go. And finally, the donkey says, why do you keep hitting me? You know, and because, and finally, I guess the angel of the Lord could appear. The donkey could see the angel of the Lord standing in the way with a sword. You're not coming. You're not going to go up this road. And so he, you know, the donkey was able to talk, and the angel of the Lord, finally, he could see it. So there are occasions God opened his eyes to see what his jackass could see. When any jackass could see, finally Balaam finally saw it. Now, in the Bible, we already just touched on this a little bit, but there are different kinds of spirit beings, different kinds, described in various ways. The main kind, you know, these are the main kinds. They are cherubim, the cherubs, cherubim. Given the task of guarding the Garden of Eden. That's the, you know, he set the cherubim to guard the Garden of Eden. After Adam and Eve died, they couldn't get back into that garden. And of course, as you know, and I've given sermons on this before, the whole plan of salvation. What's the whole plan of salvation from Genesis chapter 3, verse, you know, when they sinned and they were driven out of the Garden of Eden? What's the whole plan of salvation? To get back to the Garden of Eden. The book of Revelation ends with them coming back into the garden. All of us get to come back into the garden. How do we do it? We come through Christ. So the cherubim guard it. They can't get in there. And God is enthroned among the cherubim. And they travel with God, guiding his chariot, according to Psalm 18, verse 10. And he rode upon a cherub and flew, and he sped upon the wings of the wind. They guide his chariot. That's Psalm 18, verse 10. And in Ezekiel chapter 10, verses 1 through 22, you see all about the cherubim there and the chariots of God and how they guide. They are figures of the cherubim are carved on either side of the Ark of the Covenant. The seat of the Ark of the Covenant, there are cherubim, and they're and their wings stretch out over the Holy of Holies, Ark of the Covenant, in the ancient temple. And in that temple, there are palm trees on the sides of the walls. You know, the garden. Here comes the garden. Palm trees, flowers, things like that on the sides of the walls. What is God saying to us? You were driven out of the Garden of Eden. You can't come back into the Holy of Holies. There's only one way, and you will finally get back into that garden, and that's the whole plan of God for salvation. His whole plan is to get us back into that garden. Yeah, they're on either side of the Ark of the Covenant. You'll see it in Exodus chapter 25. I won't take time to read all that. It would be very, very long. Then the second category are the seraphs, called the seraphim. The seraphs seem to be, it's a very close Hebrew word to the word serpent. The seraphs, very close Hebrew word, it has to do with a twisting body. You know how the snakes go, they twist. They are the seraphim, and they are described in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 2 through 7, where they are continuously, where they continuously worship God, and they use the words, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, of the eternal Yahweh of hosts. The whole earth, they say, is full of his glory. That's what the seraphim. Now you have the cherubim, you have the seraphim, and you have another thing in the Bible called living creatures. Living creatures. You see that both in Ezekiel and in Revelation. We read about beings known as these living creatures. And we don't know what they look like, what they're supposed to. They're just living creatures. They're living. They're spirit beings. They're alive. And they are all created. Now, there are ranks inside the world, this invisible world. Okay? There are ranks. It's like a host. You remember the Bible says he's the Lord of hosts. What's a host? It's like an army. Okay? The host of heaven. And so it's like an army. It's an organized situation here. And there are ranks inside of it. One angel that we find mentioned in the Bible by name. And a lot of people have named their boys after this angel. You know? It's the most popular boy or male name in the United States. So if you're trying to guess a guy's name and you didn't know what it was, just say, hi, Mike, Michael, you know, or something like that, because there are more Michaels than any other male name. And he's mentioned, Michael is an archangel, the Bible says, in the book of Jude, verse 9. In the book of Daniel, chapter 10, and verse 13, he is called one of the chief princes. Let me read. It says, but Michael the archangel, this is Jude 1 and verse 9, but Michael the archangel, when he disputed the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. And in chapter 10 of Daniel, verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the angel of Persia. Michael, one of the chief princes. So we have these ark. You know what's the word ark mean? It means a ruling angel. He has authority and power over other angels. He's a ruling angel. Chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael, once again his name is mentioned, and his angels waging war with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels waged war. So here you go. Michael with his army of angels following. He's like a general. He's a ruler, like a general. He's fighting with the dragon, which is Satan, and his angels. And it says in verse 8, this is Revelation 12, verse 8, and they were not strong enough, but there was no longer a place for them found in heaven. That is, the dragon and his angels were not strong enough. They couldn't resist Michael. They drove them out. And the great dragon was thrown down, and the serpent of old. So he may have been close to a seraphim himself, the great dragon. The seraphim who is called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world, or that the word serpent there could have been because he appeared as a serpent, you know, with Eve, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth. His angels were thrown down with him. Thrown down with him. Angels are very, very powerful. Very powerful. They are called, one of the names of angels are called mighty ones. Let me read Psalm 103, verse 20. I'll read it in several translations. I'm reading from the Complete Jewish Bible first. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless Adonai, you angels of his, you mighty warriors who obey his word, who carry out his orders. Let me read that from the The Christian Standard Bible reads it like this: "Praise the Eternal, all his angels of great strength, who do his word, obedient to his command." And the New American Standard Version goes like this: "Bless the Eternal, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying his voice, obeying the voice of his word." And the New English Translation: "Praise the Eternal, you angels of his, you powerful warriors who carry out his decrees and obey his orders." Powerful warriors. So angels have tremendous powers. Tremendous powers. You see what he did, you know. He wakes Peter up, you know, come on, you know, there goes the cell. His, you know, your chains fall off your hands. They got tremendous powers. And in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 1:20. And he says, "Which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places." Listen to this phrase: Jesus Christ is seated in heaven, listen, "far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come." Jesus Christ sits in a throne above all these powerful angels called powers and dominions. And you see in Colossians 1:16, same thing. Thrones and dominions, rulers and authorities. All these have been created by him and for him. So there's no doubt they are more powerful than we are. No doubt. So you see angels taking care of you, far more powerful than you are. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 7. "You have made him," talking about man. He's quoting now from Psalm 8. Hebrews 2, verse 7. "You have made him," meaning man, "for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him," humans, "with glory and honor, and have appointed him over the works of your hands." So here, while we are weaker, okay? We are weaker than angels. But there's one thing about us that cannot be said about angels, and it is not said anywhere about angels. What is it that is said about us that's not said about angels? Here it is. We are created in God's image. Angels are not. We are created in the image of God. In his image, he created him. Okay? We are now lower than angels. But what does Paul say? What does Paul say? He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? If the world is judged by you, are you not competent to constitute the smallest law courts? Can't you make a judgment in your own churches?" And then verse 3, "Do you not know that we will judge angels?" Well, here we are, far less powerful, far less potent, and yet we will judge angels. We're not spirit. We can die. Angels can't. They're spirit beings that just continue. They live on. We can die. They can sin. We can sin. They're here to protect us because God has something for us he does not have for them. We'll talk more about what that is and what the meaning is that God has created these powerful beings and what it should mean to you personally in your own life.